little gift of my own here. This goes way back. Well, not this exact one, but a gift like this goes way back. One of my favorite gifts when I was thinking back to my childhood was, I don't know if any of you guys have ever had one of these. Do you remember the race cars? Yes. You have them? This was one of my favorites. I mean, not this exact one. Mine's a little bit long gone, but I stole this out of another bedroom in our house. And you know what? So when I was growing up, I was the youngest of eight. And my parents would give us money, and we'd get to choose what we had. So I sort of knew what I was getting, but I knew where they hid them. And so I took my friends up in the attic, and I showed them, and I was so excited to get it, and I was just so excited to have that, and just loved playing it. I'm just going to set that there as one gift that I received as a young person. And I remember playing that thing till it didn't work anymore. We rode the wheels off those cars. And they literally went flying off the tracks. But we're going to try to understand, like, as we think about Christmas and just celebrate Christmas. And this is distracting with all these red shirts over here. That is something else. You have to enter the procession if you're going to, like, wear shirts like that. But we're going to try to celebrate Christmas, prepare in our celebrations for Christmas, and thinking about the best gifts received. Now, so often, I don't know about your family, in our family, we read Luke 2 on Christmas morning. So I thought, why not start in Luke 1 today? All right? So we're going to look at Luke 1. We're going to look at a few gifts that we receive, that you see right there. And I hope it just encourages your heart and just awakens your heart more and more. I hope you have joy this morning. Just the joy of Christmas and the joy of being together. And what a fun morning together that way. I mean, I'm sorry if I'm wearing this shag sweater, if that distracts you, but we're actually going to get into the Word, and we're going to look at a few things real quick here. So a few gifts. Look at this. So many others have tried their hand at putting together the story of the wonderful harvest of Scripture and history that took place among us. Luke is writing this. Luke's a doctor, all right? And he's using reports handed down by the original eyewitnesses who served this word with their very lives. And since I have investigated these reports in close detail, starting from the story's beginning, I've decided to write it for you. He decides to write it out for us. And here you see the gift of God's word. He writes it to Theophilus, the most honorable Theophilus, who was probably a Roman official at the time or someone of wealth or of high position. Okay, so he writes it for him. But honestly, he writes it for each one of us. Isn't that awesome? And why does he write it? So that you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt the reliability of what you were taught. See, you can know truth. You can know right and wrong. You can know God. You can know the God of the universe. He wants to be known, and he's revealed himself through his word. I was reading in my Bible app, my devotions this week, and it said this. Enjoy reading the Bible. It says, the 18th century philosopher Voltaire, sounds like a pretty interesting guy. He said, within 100 years, so he was a critic of Christianity. He said, within 100 years, the Bible will be obsolete and will be gone out of circulation altogether. You know, 100 years later, the Bible was more popular than ever. His own house in Paris was converted into a Bible factory, churning out Bibles by the hour. Isn't that awesome? When you hear attacks on the Bible, it's good to remember that that's nothing new. It's nothing new. I was thinking, I got one more thing in here. Maybe you've seen these little Bibles before, these life books. We had a really cool story come out of the skate park this year that a young man got a Bible, I believe like this. I'm not sure if it was one of these or one of the Gideon Bibles, but he gave it to his parent as they were going off. They were actually going to jail for a little bit. And you know, that parent could not take anything into prison, but you know they can't take a Bible from someone? So they were allowed to take that in. And you know what? That parent reported that God's word carried her through that situation. Isn't that cool? It's alive. It's active. It's such a gift. The word of God is such a gift. It really is a blessing. This clicker's not working, and it'd be a blessing if it was. There it was. There it is, the gift of God. All right, I'm going to look at two other quick gifts here. All right, there was this priest, Zechariah, as we continue in Luke 1. Zechariah and Elizabeth. Maybe you've heard of them, all right? But they were righteous. He says, together they lived honorably before God, careful in keeping the ways of his commandments, enjoying a clear conscience before God. They were known to be righteous. And you would think if they were righteous, they would be blessed. But that next phrase, but they were childless. And see, again, in that time, that typically it was understood, if you were childless, that was a symbol of divine displeasure, all right? Not divine happiness towards you. And if you know, maybe you've walked this road, maybe you're walking this road, that's a deep hurt and a pain at your core, all right, if you find yourself in this situation, okay? And then we're also told that now they were quite old. They were quite old. I like how Zechariah put it at one point a little later he was very good with his words. He says, I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. It's a nice way of saying she's old too. All right. So, but anyhow, she gets pregnant. She gets pregnant. How crazy is that? That's insane. For 5 months, she remained in seclusion. She was so excited, I guess. So, but the Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor. He has taken away my disgrace among the people. So you see what she was wrestling with, what she was going through. But what a gift. What a gift of a child to that couple. In that moment, in that time, totally unexpected, deeply personal. I don't know where you find yourself right this moment, but God can meet you right where you're at. And I just have to imagine, for this couple, that dream of having children was long gone. Like, it was long put on the shelf. It was long stuffed down deep. Like, there was no hope that was happening anymore. And yet God has a way of awakening us. I was reading, I don't know if you've ever been reading a book, and somehow you just connect at such a deep level with the character or with the emotion or with the moment, and it connects in something from you from way back, and suddenly you're like filled with emotion. And I just can only imagine when this couple figured out they're having a child, like, wow, what a gift. One more child. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. Certainly, he certainly does have a surprise for you. You've never been married. You've never done any of that married stuff. You're going to have a child. All right? What? Are you kidding me? That had to be nuts. You talk about surprise. Like, you want to surprise someone with a gift? Like, that's for real. But literally, she's like, but how? How? That is not possible. That's physically not possible. And we learn in the text, it says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. See, the answer is God's Spirit. The sign. You remember your relative, Elizabeth? She's having a kid too. This is insane. Like, this is unbelievable. Nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with God. Isn't that crazy? Such wonder. Such amazement. Such joy. Mary can do nothing but explode in praise. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to go on to sing a song about this. And I hope it grabs your hearts too. As you think of joining with Mary and Joseph in that moment, she says this. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of this humble servant, the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Isn't that awesome? The mighty one has done great things for me, Mary says. You know what? He's done great things for each and every one of us. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. We're going to come on up. We're going to sing this song. And we're going to come back to our second question for adults. You can be ready. What's the best gift that you've given? And then we got a little bit more from Luke 1. So, all right, this represents, I didn't realize there was so much dust on it. When I pulled it up and out, like dust like started coming out of it. But anyhow, you might think, what in the world is this? What is it? It's a conch shell. It is a seashell or a conch shell, yeah. One of those. And so anyhow, this represents a gift that I think it was a good gift. On our 10th anniversary, my wife and I went to Jamaica together. And our wedding is, we were married December, 12th. That was extremely dangerous right there. That was living life on the edge. But anyhow. So, you know what? That was one of those moments. Like 10 years in, we had young kids yet. We decided to go away. It was something that I think it was the best because it's something we literally, I still have this on my dresser. We still have a picture there. I often think about a picture came up on Facebook like last week. And or actually, it probably came up on the 12th now that I think about it. And that makes sense. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. But I usually get there. And then, so, you know, it was meaningful because, I mean, it's like lasting value. You know what I mean? Like it continued beyond that moment. Like it didn't, like my AFX track, that doesn't work anymore. You know what I mean? But here we are 11 years later. And we had just some really cool memories and some things from that. So best gifts given. I want to come back here to this, to what Mary says here. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Do you know God is mindful of you? Isn't that awesome? From now on, all generations will call me blessed, she says. For the mighty one, we've been looking at the names of God, who's got the mighty one, the all-powerful one. He has done great things for me, Mary says. Holy or set apart. Or totally unique is his name. But I wanted to focus on this last statement. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. I don't know where you find yourself at today, but that is a beautiful statement. And I see Mary in the verse before saying, wow, God has done such awesome things for me, she's saying. But then I see her turning beyond herself and saying, his mercy goes on forever to anyone who wants it, to anyone who desires. It's a beautiful picture. You think of mercy. I don't know what you think of with mercy, but I thought of one great example in the Bible. Mercy is like kindness or compassion or withholding punishment that's due to them. There's a little picture of supposed to be Joseph and his brothers. You think of the story of Joseph, and you think of all that he went through. His brothers, you know, he had this vision that his brothers one day were going to bow down to him. He made the mistake of telling them that, I guess. Depending what you know, don't tell your brother or sister now. But depending what it is, no, he tells them, They sold him into slavery down to Egypt. God is with him down in Egypt and raises him up to the second in command. There's a famine in the land. So now all of his brothers come down to Egypt. His dad thought he was dead. All the brothers are in front of him. And now Joseph is in control of the situation. Joseph could have revenge. Joseph could give it to him. Joseph could say, now this is my moment. You put me in that pit. This is what I'm going to do to you now. You know, he had that opportunity, but what did he do? No, he expressed mercy. He expressed kindness. He provided them food, a most basic necessity in their time of need. Isn't that something? When he had the power to withhold it, he had every right to withhold it. Yet that's love. That's compassion. That's kindness. Mary says, his mercy, God's mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. It's hard for us to maybe understand the whole generational thing. In our culture, we're so individualistic. But again, in this culture, in ancient civilization, they lived 3 to 4 generations in a household. Right? They lived in tight community. So when a father or when someone sinned, like, people knew it. And people were held accountable together as a family unit. And you see that all through the Old Testament. I want to read a little bit. Way back when Moses was given the law. I don't know if you ever caught this, but he says, you shall not make for yourself an idol. God wanted no rivals. All right, no idols, no one else. God alone. He was the only one. One true God. He says, you shall not make for yourself bow down and worship them. I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. See, there was a punishment that went on and on and on, generational, 3 and 4 generations, for those, he says, for those who hate him, those who hate God. But you know what the next verse says here? But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So you see the generational impact of hating God and choosing another idol, or the extreme generosity, if that's 3 to 4 generations that are impacted, this is 1,000 generations that are impacted of those who love God and pursue him. It's a beautiful picture. You know, God often gets the bad rap that he's like an evil God that's always just wiping people out, which he does do that at times in the Old Testament. You see that with Achan. He burned their, he had them stone them and burn their tents of their whole family. Like there was generational impact because of sin. The punishment went beyond the single person. It went to the household, the whole family. But now Mary is saying here, she's reiterating that fact that God's love, God's compassion, his kindness is way beyond that. It's way more than that. And again, she's just, there's like this extreme mercy. The Message Bible says his mercy flows in wave after wave. You think of the ocean and you think of standing there on the shore and you see the waves coming. His mercy just keeps coming like a wave after wave, just coming over you. How beautiful is that? See, I think the arrival of Jesus is the arrival of true mercy, of true kindness, of true compassion for you and I for all eternity. Literally for all eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Isn't that beautiful? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. See, when that baby showed up, wow, 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 wow. It's craziness. Wow, you talk about surprise. You talk about amazement. Wow. Have you ever received this gift? Just the last thing I'm going to say. These gifts that we give, even this one, they're here today, gone tomorrow. The gift of Jesus is lasting. It's eternal. It's beautiful. Peter says it this way in Acts when he was talking to the Israelites. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for two gifts, for the gift of the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that worked in Mary's life, in Joseph's life, like a serious surprise. He says, when we turn our hearts to Jesus, when we receive his gift, we get forgiveness of our sins. And we get the indwelling Holy Spirit in our lives. That is such a gift that can empower us, not only through this life, but for all eternity. We have a little video here that'll take us right into the next section.
Christmas presents are exciting. Do you remember what you'd say is the best gift you've ever received at Christmas? I asked my kids this question, and here's what they said. My 6-year-old loved her little talkie doll that could talk, blink, and not much else. Cost a whopping $110 after tax, and it lasted for a solid 8 months before it found its way to the back of her closet. My 9-year-old said his favorite was the popular fantasy book series, 6 books in all, each getting progressively longer. The set cost $58 and lasted 8 weeks before it lived its final dust-filled existence on a shelf. Now my tween loved the Brainy Putty collection that cost $32 and lasted a measly 8 days before it went to live in our carpet. Finally, my teenage son wanted the ultimate drone with a 4K camera. It cost the most and lasted the shortest amount of time. I'd like to say it lasted 8 minutes, but no, it was 8 seconds, which is only impressive in bull riding. As exciting as those gifts are, what if there was a gift at Christmas that was far better? In fact, so much better that it makes these look like, well, toys. What if this gift was worth so much that no one could buy it for you, nor could you afford it? What if it was something of extreme value, like, say, life itself? And what if this gift was given through the birth of a baby who became our paid in full? That's the gift offered to all. It costs us nothing, him everything. It lasts just a bit longer than 8 seconds, 8 days, 8 weeks, or even 8 months. It lasts forever.